This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2161. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded October 20th, Alaska, Antarctica, Austria, Brazil, China, Cuba, Egypt, Ethiopia, Germany, Guatemala, Indonesia, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Kaliningrad, Korea South, Luxembourg, Malaysia, Myanmar, Netherlands, New Zealand, North America, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Tibet, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Dateline Alaska. Via Richard Langley in New Brunswick, we have word of some new HARP transmissions October 23rd to 26th. Amanda Dawn Christie's next Ghosts in the Air Glow transmissions. Times and frequencies are a very complex schedule on the website, which you need to consult. All one word, ghostsintheairglow.space. Each is half an hour long. The first is Sunday, October 23rd from 06 UT. Now, every few minutes, frequencies and the type of transmission changes. It's impossible to give all the details here, but I'll mention the frequencies mentioned for this first broadcast in megahertz, 4.85, 4.8, 5.4, 9.5, 3.3. The next broadcast is Monday, October 24th, also starting at 0600. Then on the 25th and 26th, they start at, or slightly before, 1630 UT. This is the second of her three compositions. The first, you may recall, transmitted from the HARP facility in Alaska was in March of 2019, and the third one will be sometime in 2023. Here is part of how it's being explained. Ghosts in the Air Glow is a transmission art project working with the HARP Ionospheric Research Instrument to mix audio and images at the liminal boundaries of Earth's atmosphere and outer space. It's a half-hour transmission artwork that will be transmitted four times. Airglow and Luxembourg experiments will be paired with the AM modulation of narrowband television video, art, spoken word, and sound art created by Amanda Dawn Christie. Shortwave listeners from around the world are invited to tune in and submit reception reports in exchange for QSL cards, preferably submitting the report by a web form. I may point out that her first experiment left a bad taste in the mouths of many of us since her QSLs never arrived. But we may hope for better luck this time. My report this week of LRA 36 Antarctica, 15475.98, reduced carrier USB as heard via remotes in Argentina. On Saturday, October 15th, it was on the air, but for only 23 minutes, starting about 15:08. It seems the transmissions usually cut off abruptly. Then on Wednesday, October 19th, from at least 14:54 of 16:06, and they were promoting a special birthday broadcast the following day, which I did also hear, unusually on a Thursday, October 20th, on the 43rd anniversary of the station's first broadcast in 1979. It came on as scheduled abruptly at 14:30 UT. It was supposed to last 2 hours, but cut off in a little over 1 hour at 15:37. Advanced programming publicity from SM Radio Dessau mentioned that the 300-kilowatt transmitter at Mosbühne, Austria, would be closing down at the end of this year. This led to quite a lengthy discussion about what's really going on there. Finally, via ADX, Adolf Zeus says, those broadcasts on December 31st have been reserved with the 300-kilowatt transmitter for 2 hours. Or is it December 30th? Conflicting information anyhow, at 13 to 15 UT on 6070, a frequency normally occupied by Channel 292 Germany. Harald Zeus continues, in addition, there will be a price increase from January 1st for transmitter rental. Radio Joystick is already planned, an alternative, Bulgaria. We'll see to what extent others also drop out when the time comes. The current station manager is retiring, has a successor ready from mid-2023. This means that with Mr. Spitzbart's departure, Mosbrunn will continue. A complete closure of the site is moved further away, contrary to original plans. The It will continue to broadcast happily in 2023, but with only 100 kilowatt transmitters. Kai Ludwig points out that their primary customer, keeping the station alive for many years, has been Adventist World Radio. So what are their plans for shortwave, with considerable price increases around the corner? Also, the BBC will no longer use Mosbrunn in the upcoming winter season, among many other of their cutbacks. But here's some positive news of a tropical Brazilian unexpectedly reactivated. It's ZYG-851, Rádio Cacique de Sorocaba. That's C-A-C-I-Q-U-E. Thanks to Sergio Doria Partamian, also in São Paulo State, for this news. 2470 kHz, heard between 06 and 0704 UT on 19 October. Stephen Luce in Texas says he got a very poor signal via nearby Kiwi remotes at 2145 October 19th. They were about 60 miles away. It was listed with only 250 watts in past editions of the WRTH. Just in case, I checked October 20th at 06 and could not hear anything. That is by tuning in direct, which would be quite a challenge. But it appears it may be on the air all night, and who knows, maybe all day. 2470 kHz. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard says it was nice to hear an especially clear multi-language ID from Yunnan Radio International, or PBS Yunnan, 6035, at 13 UT October 20th, followed by a half hour in Vietnamese. He also heard PBS Yunnan at 7210 October 15th at 1047, playing their interval signal of Chinese songs, mixing with a Chinese air defense numbers station in LSB. Also on the frequency seemed to be Sound of Hope Taiwan, slightly to the low side, a royal mess. And it's not uncommon for CNR1 to be there also to jam Sound of Hope, but not on that occasion. And Ron Howard also reports on News 6010, China National Radio Network 6, on October 18th, at 12 UT with open carrier starting audio at 1201. It was parallel to 6165, which was already on the air much earlier. Cuba's Radio Rebelde has been missing a lot from 5025 lately. On October 13th at 626, it was transmitting but with dead air. On other occasions, Radio Rebelde programming has shown up on 5040, which was supposed to be a Radio Havana frequency. That was the case October 16th at 0653, when on 5040 I was hearing music in Spanish, but an ID in passing at 0725 after some rock songs in English as Rebelde en la Mañana. Something's always wrong at Radio Cuba. 9440 for English at 2115 is not the only frequency for something always being egregious in Egypt. Here are some others. In the NASA flash sheet, Ralphus W. Perry in Illinois says Radio Cairo wandered up from 9870 to 9872.6. October 13th, quite good power, but very muffled and distorted audio from 1904. He doesn't mention the language, but it's scheduled as Russian during that hour. What a disaster on 9810, says Arthur Posner near New York. October 17th, awful, horrendous distortion at 2015 UT, but a very strong carrier. Walt Salmon, even British Columbia, says it's actually on 9812.567, distorted at 2049. A strong signal. The carrier went off just before 2139. October 19th at 0406, I had what sounded like DRM noise, but it was too wide, 20 kHz, from 11560 to 11580. But there was a weak carrier in the middle, 11570. This is all explained in the IB list. The clandestine in Tigrinya for Ethiopia, Dimse Woyani, is on 11570 at 0405 via France. But it's hit during the same hour by an Ethiopian noise jammer. New B-22 tentative season schedules are now available at the HFCC website, effective October 30th. Stephen Luce says, as for Deutsche Welle, broadcasts to Afghanistan are still registered, but are missing from the new shortwave schedule on their own website. And Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener says, DW stopped broadcasting in Dari and Pashto on 15 September, confirmed by DW Customer Service, answering my inquiry. Just this week, in the middle of the night, I was tuning across 4055 and lamenting how vacant it is since TGAV, Radio Verdad Guatemala, disappeared. But coincidentally, Dr. Edgar Madrid of Radio Verdad has sent out another mailing claiming that worldwide relays of Radio Verdad via satellite into numerous shortwave transmitters are again happening on 4055. He has a reception report to prove it. We might start to believe this if it's ever reported by a legitimate DXer. He says the company carrying out these transmissions is called Telnet, T-E-L-N-E-T, Transmissions. However, Google is aware of no such company. I say the reception reports he does receive are likely from ringers by the scammers. Manuel Mendez in Spain sums it up. I think the fraud is clear. The scammers convince him not to announce the test transmission, knowing that no listener is going to report it. And then they themselves write to him saying that it was heard in Chile, Bolivia, or somewhere. He says, I contacted Antonio Vives with a Gmail address, who the director of Radio Verdad says was the listener who received the transmission, so that he could inform me of details, but did not respond to my email. Surely Antonio Vives does not exist, and that email address was created for the occasion. The problem is that Don Edgar is so convinced that there's no way to reason with him. Ron Howard continues to monitor RRI Naviri, Indonesia. 7289.93. He was disappointed that it cut off early at 0757, October 17th. Very early for them to end. He just tuned in at 7:40. Then on October 18th, tuned in at 0730 until it cut off at 0939. He also checked the other frequency they used years ago until 14 UT, but nothing heard on 6125. On October 18th and 19th, thanks to Ron's tip, Lucio Otavio Bobrovic in Brazil was pleased to hear RRI Nibiri for a few minutes before and after 09 UT. On October 19th, Ron was hearing it from before 0814 until after 0914. And Ron reminds us that currently this is the only active Indonesian shortwave station. We recently had reports that Spirit Radio in Ireland had reactivated on medium wave 549. But on October 16th, Steve Witt in the medium wave circle says it has been off again for a couple of days. And David Thorpe replies it went off October 13th. Unconfirmed reports say the service may have closed due to high electric costs. And now we note the passing of a well-known figure in the DXing hobby, Dario Monferrini of Milan, Italy. On October 17th, we got this from Andrea Lavendel. Friends have announced that he passed away this morning in a home for elderly where he was hospitalized since he had suffered a series of strokes since May of 2020. It's hard to express what Dario and his renowned PlayDX bulletin, his DX trips to radio stations and conventions all over the world, in spite of his mobility problems, a legendary knowledge of the local FM frequency landscape, and his uniquely extensive collection of stickers and pennants, it's hard to express what all this has meant in the last 50 years for serious DXing in Italy and elsewhere. If I'm not mistaken, Dario had just turned 72. This led to many more tributes and remembrances by those who had actually met him. Walt Salmaniv says Dario was definitely an unusual character. I met him in Victoria, B.C., perhaps 20 years ago. He insisted on being taken around to all our local radio stations, 4 or 5 FM transmitters, so I dutifully drove him to each, and sure enough, he usually came out with an armful of stickers and pennants. In the British DX Club, Alan Pennington says, the DX world has lost one of its great champions and characters who will be sorely missed. Ron Norton of IRRS says, we will remember Dario over the air with repeats of his special editions of the PlayDX radio show, broadcast by IRRS in 1989 and 90, over the next weekends, October 21st to 23rd, and 28th to 30th at various times on shortwave, medium wave, and streaming, and a special broadcast airing Saturday, October 22nd and 29th from 08 to 9 UT on 9510. His funeral was Thursday morning, October 20th. R.I.P. Dario Monferrini. I was also wondering what becomes of his huge collection. A new museum to be built, acquisition by existing radio memorabilia organizations. His friend Andrea Lavendel says it's hard to say, due to lack of close relatives and a court-ordered administration during his illness. I'm afraid that Dario's flat was emptied and put to let. Most likely outcome for all his stuff is total dispersion. but maybe some other friend or relation provided for temporary storage. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2161. A non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Thanks this week for financial support from Andy Reed, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. Not necessarily in U.S. funds, or via money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. From Dave Hunt on the Medium Wave Circle Group via AER in Spain, 44 of the 47 commercial AM stations in Japan plan to change to FM by the fall of 2028 in order to reduce operational costs. This massive change will affect all AM stations except in Hokkaido and Akita Prefecture. Radio Russia has reactivated a high power transmitter in Kaliningrad, that detached part of Russia, which should serve Western Europe well. It's 1143 kilohertz. It could be with 150 kilowatts as before at the Bolshakovo site, reported by Yevgeny in Telegram via RustyX, testing October 13th. At 1422 UT. Andre replies, saying it had been off the air for 8 years. It's being debugged, testing only in the daytime, but plans to operate 24 hours around the clock and with an omnidirectional antenna. David Thorpe says in the past, power was around 2.5 megawatts. Bjarne Mjelde says, I don't think they ever used that much. According to MW List, it's now being heard at 17 to 18 in Polish, and 18 to 21 in Russia. Ron Howard reports this week's frequencies, all six of them from Echo of Hope, VOH, from South to North Korea, heard October 18th, Tuesday, with an English language weekday lesson at 11:31, 3990, 4885, 6000, 6250, 6355, and 9100. From Radio Magazine, October 14th, via Mike Terry. The end of RTL Luxembourg on longwave 234 kHz, December 31st. The decision has been made. Facing an energy crisis, the M6 group, RTL will cease broadcasting longwave as of January 1st to save more than 6,000 megawatt hours per year. Listeners will have to find another way to listen. RTL has been broadcasting since 1933. Energy cost is the excuse, but the real reason is the overall decline in audience for long and medium-wave broadcasting. Not a surprise, as RTL had already cut transmission hours from 24 to 19 per day earlier this year. Stephen Luce says the 234 signal is easily received on European remotes such as U20, so listen while you can. Ron Howard reports hearing live coverage of the 62nd International Holy Quran Competition on Sarawak FM, 9835 Malaysia. This was October 20th. It started at 12:45. He heard it from 13:08 until cut off at 14:08. Live coverage of the International Al-Quran Recital and Memorization Assembly in Kuala Lumpur. There were 11-minute segments of reciting from the Quran, a rare occurrence of having women reciting, as there is a women's division in the competition. The NASA flash sheet, Ralph S. W. Perry in Illinois, reports Radio Myanmar in Nai Pyi Daw on 5915, heard several days after 12 UT, October 11th, 13th, and 15th with news and music. Richard Limken, Alberta says the mighty KBC, Netherlands Non via Germany, was missing UT Sunday, October 16th at midnight from 5960. He got a reply from the station, nobody heard us that Saturday. At the transmitter site, they told us everything was fine. Even close to the site, however, nobody heard anything. Hope they will have fixed the problem for this Saturday. I was surprised to hear a New Zealand ham on what is supposed to be, in that part of the world, a broadcast-only band, 7225 LSB, October 15th at 0706. ZL1XR calling CQ and contacting someone in Australia. Of course, Radio New Zealand is sometimes on the air, but not at that time, nearby on 7245. Alokesh Gupta forwards news from Ambagon that they have signed a contract to supply a new 100-kilowatt shortwave transmitter to New Zealand to be delivered next year and put into operation in early 2024. The Antichrist pirate somewhere in Western North America, Station YHWH, has been heard again on 7475. Eric Fettersbaugh in Washington State reports he caught him signing off at 0255, October 18th. Mike Cooper forwards a story October 20th from ndtv.com. Russia's liberal Echo of Moscow radio returns, but from Berlin. It was taken off the air shortly after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It has resumed a fight back against Putin's propaganda. A number of employees left Russia in the wake of the clampdown, including Deputy Editor-in-Chief Maxim Kornikov, who's made a new life in the German capital. Along with several former colleagues, others went to Latvia, Lithuania, and Georgia. Despite being scattered across Europe, there was never a question of staying silent on the Ukraine conflict or events in Russia. He and his team have restarted their broadcasts on an app simply called Echo. It works just like a radio, and claims that the app is fast becoming one of the top downloads in Russia. Mike says there appears to be a live audio link at this website, echofm.online. In Rusty X, Ruman Pankov in Bulgaria says, found on October 14th and 15th from 04 to 05 UT on 9900, a very loud signal overwhelming Iran in Arabic, continuously playing, in disco style, the Soviet anthem, without any announcements. Strange mix-ups in Saudi Arabia. Paul Walker in Alaska reports on 9675, something in English from one of their domestic networks. And there may be Arabic mixed in. This was at 19 UT. At 1951, Alan Rowe replies, seem to be two program feeds on the same channel. An English ID sounds like SRFM. So heard by Walt Salmanov in BC, with a PSA at 2002 about food poisoning risks in English. Clearly a wrong feed. And then at 2035, they went into Indonesian. And then there was 21670 from Saudi Arabia. Saharis Yangas in Greece reports on October 18th at 10 UT, a program in perfect English, with many random IDs instead of Indonesian. Dave Kenny heard an ID on the recording as SRFM Saudi Radio. Zach says here's the website for links to Saudi Arabia's TV and radio broadcast. It can be displayed in English, www.aloula.sa. In the NASA flash sheet, Ralphus W. Perry in Illinois reports FEBC's Gawelan Tibetan Radio via the UAE site on 15215, October 15th at 1200 to 1229. The program originates in India. It's spelled Gawelon, and it's on the air only on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. The BBC celebrated its 100th birthday on October 18th, leading to a lot of discussion in the press about its future in view of continuing budget cuts. Mike Cooper sends some of these. One story was in theconversation.com. Charles Harlick sends another from Columbia Journalism Review. WRMI has continued work to restore most, but so far not all, of its frequencies following Hurricane Ian damage. One not yet back is 7780, where World of Radio had been scheduled several times, but last week I was pleased to find we were on the air at the scheduled time of 0330 UT Friday on a different frequency, 9455. So check that again in case it continues. Also, 5850 has just returned to the air as of October 20th, and Jeff White has given us a new time for that, UT Saturday at 0130, 5850 across North America, and it's also on 15770, which propagates surprisingly well even though it's into the night. Last week I quoted someone's recommendation of Purple Power, a product for cleaning off sticky Eaton radio surfaces. Well, I have no personal familiarity with it, so before purchase I recommend Googling Purple Power and noting the caveats about it. It seems you've got to produce at least a gallon of it for $7 at Walmart. That would clean off an awful lot of Etons. So maybe you have some other stuff needing degreasing. Now, back to WRMI, another significant change there is 17790, replacing 21525 for Radio Africa, even though the antenna it can use is aimed toward South America. That's between 15 and 21 UT. Here's the medium wave station, so far off frequency it may be easier to DX, reported by Terry Kruger in Florida. WCOG, Greensboro, North Carolina, on 1319.719. Heard October 13th at 0224 UT with Key Largo by Bertie Higgins and Glenn Fry and Elvis. They have a singing call letters jingle. A very good reception, he says, but was still or again seriously off channel. Ben Cobb sends a story from Reuters October 17th. U.S. lawmakers want to boost oversight of foreign government broadcast sponsorship. It's by David Shepherdson. Democratic Senator Brian Schatz, Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn, and Representative Anna Eshoo, a Democrat, proposed giving FCC authority to compel broadcasters to check foreign media databases to better identify groups sponsoring programming. Foreign governments should not be able to hide behind shell companies to fund misinformation and propaganda on American airwaves, says Schatz. Blackburn said foreign governments currently can use shell companies to broadcast regime-funded propaganda across American airwaves. This legislation will protect consumer transparency by requiring the disclosure of foreign government-sponsored content. In July, a U.S. appeals court struck down an FCC requirement that broadcasters check federal sources to verify sponsors' identities. FCC rules finalized in April 2021 require foreign government sponsorship disclosure at the time of a broadcast if a foreign governmental entity paid a radio or TV station directly or indirectly to air material. The bill would not prohibit foreign governments from sponsoring content on U.S. airwaves. The court noted that the FCC had raised concerns that the Chinese and Russian governments have been secretly leasing airtime to broadcast propaganda on American radio. The issue took on new urgency in the aftermath of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. FCC Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel praised the effort in Congress to increase transparency and ensure consumers know who is behind the information transmitted over public airwaves. The National Association of Broadcasters challenged the 2021 FCC rule requiring independent checks, arguing it would result in onerous requirements to conduct independent research on all the entities with whom broadcasters currently or will in the future have lease agreements. We continue to hear Radio Vanuatu until 0659 UT on 7260, and then switching to 3945, which produces those harmonics much better heard on 7890 and 11835. On October 15th, Ron Howard says audio ended at 11:01, but checked again at 11:06. They were back with some pop songs until the transmitter cut off at 11:09. I wonder if this happens every day. The Michigan ARE Tip Sheet editor Harold Froge presents some possible side effects from listening to your radio. Auditory pareidolia, which is hearing your radio after turning it off, most frequently occurs after listening to beacons for a long time. And then there's finger mortis, stiffness associated with excessive dial twisting and button pushing, also known as nobulation. The propagation outlook from SWPC, G1 minor geomagnetic storm levels are likely October 26th, 28th, 30th, 31st, November 2nd, 5th, and 10th. ANKNSC is peaking at 20 and 5 on October 30th and November 5th. Solar flux mostly in the 120s from October 27th to November 12th. And that's World of Radio 2161. Glenn Hauser here. Many thanks for listening. I hope you found it informative. And we'll make a point of hearing me again next week with a standard disclaimer.